Again, good morning, and we thank you for being with us this morning at the Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. This morning, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and we're looking at the events, some of the events that occurred after the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First, well, let me just give you a synopsis of the order in which we believe that our risen Lord appeared to His disciples. On the day of Jesus' resurrection, in the Gospel of John chapter 20, He first appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom, earlier in His ministry, He had cast out seven demons. She loved Jesus tremendously, and they followed those women, along with the apostles and other disciples, they followed Jesus wherever He went ministering throughout His 3.5 years of earthly ministry. And then to all the women that came to the tomb in Matthew chapter 28, and they went forth proclaiming the message of the angel. And that message was to go and tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead, and to meet me in Galilee. But what was the reaction of Jesus' disciples? The Scripture says in Mark 16 and also in Luke 24 that the message that the women told them from the angels were as idle tales, and they believed them not. The disciples that followed Jesus for 3.5 years, still at that point in time, did not believe the angelic message that He had indeed risen from the dead. Then He appeared to the Apostle Peter in Luke 24:34. Then those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, also in Luke 24. They were cast down, they were discouraged, and they were despondent. But in the breaking of bread, Jesus was made known to them. And we're going to see that again today in our text in John 21. How that in the breaking of bread, Jesus was made known to them. And then we find that He appeared to the 10. With Thomas not present. And then a week later, to all of the apostles. And you remember Doubting Thomas. We often call him Doubting Thomas. But guess what? All of the apostles doubted. And all of us today, we all have our doubts from time to time. And sometimes our faith wavers. And so we ought not to pick on Thomas too badly. But then we find today, in John chapter 21, that there are seven of Jesus' disciples, and Peter is among them. Peter is the one that we focus upon. And it says this in John 21, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to His disciples at the Sea of Tiberias." And this is the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were there together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and two other of His disciples. If you count those, there's seven of them. And Simon Peter saith unto them. Remember, Peter seemingly was the leader among the apostles and seemed to be the spokesman for them. But notice what he said. Peter said to them, "I go a fishing." And they say unto him, "Well, we also go with thee." And so they went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus saith to them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. So they did. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this privilege of worship and study in thy holy word. We pray now that thy Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us every step of the way. And Father, as we come in to worship, Lord, may we go out to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why would the Apostle Peter, who had already seen the risen Lord, go out into the sea and say, I go a-fishing? Well, first of all, we would know that they were naturally despondent, cast down, and discouraged because of the events that had taken place with Jesus' crucifixion. But yet, I believe with Peter, it was much more than that. I believe he was feeling such remorse and such guilt for his sin of denying his Lord 3 times, that he was feeling himself to be completely unworthy to continue in the Lord's service. And that is an appropriate feeling whenever we are disobedient to our Lord. Whenever we sin today, we are also, in essence, denying our Lord, just as Peter did. 3 times when people asked him, weren't you one of his disciples? He said, no, I don't know him. I've never seen this man before. I'm not one of his disciples. And you know what happened? The cock began to crow, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was in great sorrow for his sin of denying his Lord. And so he felt unworthy to continue in the service of the Lord. By now, no doubt, having seen the risen Christ, he knew that he was still alive. But yet, he says, I'm going to go back, just go back to my old profession and give it all up. I'm no longer worthy to serve my Lord. But in this chapter we find that Jesus restores Peter to a place of service in his kingdom. And it is a call to restored and continued service, or renewed service. Renewed service in Christ's kingdom today. Just like you remember the Apostle Paul, how he persecuted the church. But after his conversion, he was one of the most blessed servants of Jesus in the New Testament. We cannot allow our past sin to prevent us from serving the Lord effectively today. But we must not just repent of our sins, but also forsake them and turn away from them. And so you find here Peter in his grief, I believe in his grief, yes, discouragement, yes, despondency, yes, dismay. He says to these other 6 that were with him, I'm just going to go fishing. And the others evidently felt the same way. We're just going to go with you, Peter. And so that night they entered into a ship, into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. Why do you believe they did not catch any fish that night? Well, I believe it was because that they were not doing what they should have been doing for the Lord at that time. They seemingly were running away from the service of Jesus Christ. And it produced a barren result. I believe they were trying to go back and do that which they knew to do in their own human understanding. I'm sure they also believed that the ministry of Jesus may have probably been over with at that time, even though Peter had seen the risen Lord. But, and we love the buts in the Bible, but when the morning was now come, aren't you thankful when the morning comes, when you can see the light of Christ more clearly? The Scripture says in Psalms chapter 30, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When the sunlight beams through the darkness, dispelling the darkness, we're able to see our Savior more clearly." Jesus stood on the shore. But at that time, they did not know that it was Him. Just like those two disciples in Luke 24 who left Jerusalem headed for Emmaus, and Jesus joined them on that journey, and they didn't know that He was Jesus until Jesus went into their home and in the breaking of bread, He was made known to them. So at first, they didn't know it was Him. And Jesus asked them an all-important question. "Children, do you have any meat? Have you caught anything?" And they answered Him. They said, "No." But notice He calls them His children. Even when we are not doing what we ought to do, we are still His children. He loves us. He cares for us. He watches over us day and night. And He protects us from dangers both seen and unseen. And so what did He instruct them to do? He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." Now, the right side of the ship, as opposed to the left side. Or we might also, more importantly, say, the right side as opposed to the wrong side. You may recall in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, early on in the ministry of Christ, that Peter and some others, in a similar situation on the same Sea of Galilee, notice this, in Luke chapter 5, 3.5 years earlier. "Now when Jesus had left speaking, He said to Peter," Simon Peter, "launch out into the deep." And so Jesus, there, He commanded Peter to launch his boat out into the deeper water and let down his nets, and you will get a draught of fish. And Simon, answering, said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Without the blessings of the Lord, our service in His kingdom will not bear any fruit." We must have His blessing. And so, what did Peter say? "Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net." But notice this. They had many nets, and He told him to let down his nets, plural. But evidently, he only let down one net. But so when he had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. But what happened? The net broke. I can't help but believe if he had cast all of his nets so that the fish would have been distributed among them all, that probably the nets would not have broken. And so we find a lesson there. We must follow the Lord's directions completely and totally and not half-heartedly. We must do exactly what He tells us to do. And then from henceforth He told him, "Thou shalt catch men." You will be a fisher of men. Remember, when Jesus first called Peter and the other disciples, He said this in Matthew chapter 4, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They were fishermen by trade, but Jesus called them to be fishers of men. And He says, "From thenceforth thou shalt catch men." That is, by the blessings of my Holy Spirit, you will be able, under my blessings, to convert my children to the truth of the gospel message, that eyes and hearts will be opened, and people will repent of their sin, turn to me, and be delivered. And so it was throughout His ministry. And so in our text, they did then as Jesus said, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. And so Peter got out of the boat and he began to swim toward the shore where Jesus was, and the other six came on in the boat with the net of fish. They were not far from the land, dragging the net. And as soon as they were come to land, what did they see? They saw a fire of coals and fish thereon and bread. Now, that was not the fish that they had just caught, but Jesus Himself took fish of His own, bread of His own, and prepared breakfast for His disciples. Jesus is the one upon whom we feed. He is the sustenance for our souls, both eternally and every day. Remember in John 6 and 35, after Jesus fed the multitude with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fish, He blessed it and He broke it, and there were 12 baskets of fragments left over. But He said, "I am the bread of life." When we feed upon Him, our faith is strengthened, and we are enabled to go in His strength, in a renewed zeal to serve Him better today than we did yesterday. And so then He tells them to bring the fish they caught. And there were 153. And the net did not break. I think that was a miracle too. But look at verse 12. Jesus says to them, "Come and dine." That is a great invitation for communion and fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every Lord's Day, when we assemble in God's house, Jesus says to us, "Come and dine. Feast upon my banqueting table, my bread." And remember, that bread, that was the symbol that was used in the Lord's Supper for the body of Jesus that was broken for you and me on the cross of Calvary. Come and dine. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 11:28, when the disciples were cast down? In Luke 11, He said this. I think that's where it's at. No, it's Matthew 11. Excuse me. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a great invitation. Come to me. Come and dine. Feast upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we find that He invites us to come near to Him. James said in James chapter 4, draw nigh unto the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you and me. And so they did. And by that time, they knew that it was Jesus. And not one of them asked, who is He? Because they knew it was their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 13, Jesus then comes and He takes the bread, gives it to them, and likewise the fish. So in the breaking of that bread, He was made known to them. And this was the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after He was risen from the dead. But now our application, the verses we read in the beginning of our service this morning. There's only one acceptable motive in the sight of our Lord for serving the Lord. And it is the motive of divine love. Divine love. Remember, Jesus said in other scriptures in the Gospel of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. And so Jesus focuses on Peter. You may remember in Mark 16:7, when the women were commanded by the angels to go and tell His disciples that He was risen again from the dead, they said this, but go your way and tell His disciples and Peter, that He goes before you into Galilee, and there shall you see Him just as He said unto you. And so this is coming to pass now. They're seeing Him on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Why would the angels tell the women to tell the disciples, go and tell my disciples, but especially tell Peter? Well, I believe it was because he had denied his Lord 3 times, and he was grieving over that sin, and he needed a special touch of God's grace at that time. And so we find, after they had dined, that Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than the other disciples? Do you love me more than your fishing profession? Do you love me more than anyone or anything else? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Peter, felt unworthy to continue in God's service. But Jesus had forgiven him of that sin. And no doubt Peter, in his remorse and repentance, in his heart, he didn't want to ever do that again. But it's very interesting to note the words that Jesus uses for love. When Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me?" He's using the Greek word agape, which is used for divine love, the kind of love that God has for you and me. But when Peter answers, he uses a different word, which means a friendship love, because he didn't feel worthy to say he loved him with a divine love. And so you're seeing here that Jesus, he in essence is recommissioning Peter. He's telling him to get up now and go out and serve me. And so Jesus asked him the same question the second time. And he said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Feed the small lambs, those that are just coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And also feed those who have been with me all this time." But then Jesus asked him the third time. Why did he ask him three times? I believe it's because that Peter had denied his Lord three times. Peter was grieved. He was grieved over his sin because he asked him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Then he said to him, "Feed my sheep." And so we find that our commitment to service can be renewed when we find ourselves in a state of grief over our sin. If we confess our sin and forsake it, turn back to the Lord in repentance and faith, Jesus forgives our sin. What did he say in 1 John 1:7? He said this: "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's what Jesus did with Peter in our text today. Isn't it wonderful to note that joy cometh in the morning? But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He's always there. He was there with them during the night, although they didn't see him. But when morning broke, he revealed himself to them in a mighty way, and he provided for them what they needed. He says to us today, "Come and dine at my table." It is a prepared table. It is a banqueting house. The Song of Solomon says, He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And it's the same with us today. We come to a prepared table. May we take and eat of that bread that he prepares for us every day. God bless you. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.